I'm the dopest of the dopest, hater, I know you know this. My style's still the freshest and mine is still the coldest. Don't you lose focus, the paper is still the gold.
Not for $1 million will I sell my soul.
Back against the wall, but I'm in love with the pressure.
3, 2, 1, and we're live. 3&D, Signs in Sports Podcast.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the 3&D Signs in Sports Podcast interview episode series, the most exciting interview episode series on Rumble. Guys, today we got a special guest. We got the Queen of Hearts. We got Miss Scarlett Rose. Miss Scarlett Rose, go ahead and say what's up to 3&D Signs in Sports Podcast Nation.
Hello, how's everyone doing? I'm so glad to be here.
Scarlett, as you know, as we talked about before we jumped on here, we appreciate you. We appreciate you for giving us your time. I imagine you're a lot busier than I am doing the things that you're doing. So thank you. Thank you for giving us your time for the little, you know, however long it is that we go, we appreciate it.
Of course. Thank you. I'm always glad to get some type of representation.
All right, so let's get into this interview. My first question for you is, why wrestling, and who or what inspired you to become a wrestler?
Okay, so I feel like I'm not the typical like wrestler story. Like, I know a lot of people in my wrestling gym like grew up watching wrestling and kind of that stuff. I watched it here and there, but mainly like live shows, like every once in a while. I was like, it fascinates me, but I did martial arts growing up, so that's what most of my focus was on, like jiu-jitsu and Muay Thai and mat wrestling. I spent a lot of time in mat wrestling. That was my favorite sport. Then I got injured, like when I was in high school, my sophomore year, and that kind of threw everything off, and I wasn't able to wrestle I wrestled my junior year, but then my senior year, I wasn't really able to wrestle, and I didn't know what I really wanted to do with sports in general. So then I kind of was like in a weird spot, hitting gyms here and there when I was in college, like jiu-jitsu and stuff, and it just really didn't have the same effect for me as like mat wrestling.
Yeah.
And then I tried to do collegiate mat wrestling. And at like the college, and it was like unorganized. It was a huge mess. I banged my knee on the ground because the mats weren't correctly together. And I was like, yeah, I'm done. Like, I already had knee surgery. I'm not about to go like break my patella bone on this ground because they don't know what they're doing. I'm like, it's not worth it.
Definitely. So tell us a little bit about what, how you ended up here, where you're at now. You said you came from the MMA background. How is it that you got into professional wrestling?
So that's right where I was going to go to. So when I graduated college, I came back home, and my parents were like, you need to do something. You need whatever. Like,
of course.
And I was like, I don't know. I don't really feel it, right?
Yeah.
And then my dad showed me a flyer for professional wrestling. It was a school that was local, wasn't free, so I was like, what do I have to lose, you know? I go try, if I don't like it, I'm not out anything, and, you know, whatever. So my dad showed me flyer, I sat on it for a couple months, I was like, I don't know, it's professional wrestling, I don't know two things about it. Like, I saw a match when I was, like, four, I saw a match when I was in, you know, in two matches in college, like, two shows, or three shows in college. I went to NXT, Tables Out of Chair, and like a local street show one. This is like my knowledge of professional wrestling. That is it. But then I end up trying it because I'm like, you only live once, right? You only live once.
Hey. So. Shout out Liv Morgan.
So, yeah. Went out and tried it. Fell in love with it. Been doing it for almost 2 years. 2 years in October. And just trying to see where it'll take me.
Nice. So 2 years, that means you're very, very young in your career.
Yes.
What is it about? I had Gino Rivera. He is a Brooklyn product. I had him on the podcast recently, and his story started similar with the flyer. And Where do these flyers come from? What, like, maybe that's just coincidence, but I come from a small town. We weren't surrounded by wrestling, period, but you're from California, correct?
Yeah.
What's that like? What's the wrestling scene like? The independent wrestling scene? What's the whenever, like you said, you went to a TLC, whenever the WWE goes over there, AEW, what does that get like in California? Like, is there a major vibe to it over there?
So, well, the flyer was a digital flyer on Facebook. I do not know how.
Oh, okay.
I do not know how my dad found it, because the only other time I've had contact with this person, he did the local show I went to when I was four, which is kind of interesting and funny. That I
Small
went
to world.
I went to a show, his show, when I was four, and now I'm wrestling for him, right? I'm like, how does this world work? Like,
so crazy.
Right?
So crazy.
Wrestling, it's, for California, it's very split. I don't know how else to describe it, but that is,
okay,
that's about, that, it's very split. So, I live in the dead middle, almost, of California. So, there's Northern California, and then Southern California, and that is how it has been split up for, I don't know how many years, but, like, even in, like, mat wrestling, that's how it is. There's tournaments,
oh, wow,
Northern California, there's Southern California. There's like Southern California championships and Northern California championships, and then they wrestle together in state, and that's how it's been. I don't know why. It's just this weird jumble. But it's the same thing in professional wrestling. There's Northern California and then Southern California, and they do not like each other very much.
Oh, nice. So
like,
is
Southern California people are like, oh, the Northern California wrestlers. The Northern California wrestlers are like Southern California wrestlers.
Okay. So do the promotions from speaking of, you know, them not liking each other, AEW just held Forbidden Door recently. Do the Northern California promotions and Southern California promotions ever do like a cross promotion work?
California wrestlers are very intertwined, and a lot of the promotions, like the independent promotions, they all wrestle for, like, all the independent wrestler, like, companies. Like, I see, like, this SCW have people from East Bay and people from Pro Wrestling Revolution, and, like, it's, like, they all use the same wrestlers different times. I see them, like, wrestle all over, like, the different locations that they have.
Huh.
I don't see that so much in Southern California. It does happen, like, because certain wrestling schools have their cliques down in Southern California. I don't know if it's because there's so many promotions down in Southern California or what, but I know some of them have, like, issues with each other, and, like, if you wrestle for this promotion, you can't wrestle for this promotion, and that's how it is here, too. Like,
okay,
we have two wrestling promotions, but if you wrestle for one, you cannot wrestle for the other one because,
oh, okay,
I guess it's small. This town is too small to have two promotions. I don't know.
Okay. It's only big enough for one of us.
Yeah, that's what I feel like.
That old cliche.
Yeah.
That's seen it play out like that. That's so, it's so crazy. But talking about your MMA background, talking about that you are now a wrestler, tell me a little bit about who maybe your favorite MMA superstar is. And maybe a little bit about who now, do you watch wrestling now? Do you have a favorite professional wrestler, WWE, AEW?
So the hard thing is about, like, even when I did MMA, it was really hard for me to get into watching MMA. Like, I'd watch some of the big fights, you know, like,
okay,
I would watch, I forgot what her name is, but she goes by the Cookie Monster in MMA. I forgot what her full name is, honestly. I forgot.
Huh.
But I wrestled her back when I was, like, in mat wrestling. I did a seminar.
Is that Carla, like, Esparza by,
yes,
any chance? Okay,
yeah,
cool. Isn't she a champion or something?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Yeah, talk about that.
Before she got really big into MMA or whatever, but
okay,
it was kind of funny because my dad was like, I can't believe, I'm going to talk a little smack, but she's like, I can't believe she, like, is, like, the number one takedown, and she couldn't even take you down.
Of,
like,
course,
when we were,
yeah,
wrestling. and stuff like that. I was like, how can she have the number one takedown? I was like, because no one else knows to do takedowns. That's basically why. Like,
okay,
no
okay.
No one knows to do takedowns, and no one else knows how to defend them a lot. Like, MMA, because I feel like a lot of MMA focuses on jiu-jitsu, judo, or, like, boxing or kickboxing.
Uh-huh.
That kind of stuff. Versus mat wrestling. Mat wrestling is a dying sport. And then a lot of, like, females, at least, don't get into MMA until they're older. And then there's not a lot of mat wrestling schools when you're older.
Huh. Okay.
That's my personal, like, that's what I've seen. Because, like, there's, like, one in LA, and that's about it for, like, adults.
So you don't...
Unless you're going to...
I'm sorry.
Oh, unless you're going to be coaching, like, wrestling, there's you don't get much, like, effort in, when you're older to wrestle.
Oh, okay. All kickboxing. All, like you said, all the other styles.
Yeah.
The
yeah.
fun and stuff. Then, the flashy stuff. Nobody wants to be in the mud doing all the hard work. Hey, but I've always said I had a interview episode with Reese Cornfed Forrest. He's an MMA wrestler out of South Texas. And he was talking about ground game, and we talked about how it is impressive when you can either block somebody trying to take you down or take somebody down and control them on the ground. Is that the type of fighter that you were? You mentioned mat wrestling, but in your MMA background, that's the style that you preferred?
Yeah, that's what I preferred. Like, that's what I did most of my, like, competitions in, and that's what I would do that year long. I would do all the styles, and I'd wrestle all year long in wrestling, and then I would do jiu-jitsu here and there and Muay Thai here and there, but it was mainly like mat wrestling.
Okay. So how does your MMA background, how does that help you now that you're doing wrestling? Because there's Ronda Rousey who has crossed over, there's Shayna Baszler who has crossed over, and that's only two of probably many at this point. Shout out the other ones, but what advantage does that give you, or like, does it at all?
I think it personally does, because I feel like a lot of professional wrestling moves are based off of actual wrestling moves, like the German suplex. That is something I used to do all the time.
Oh, wow.
Like, when I would wrestle. Because I would wrestle freestyle, which it's a lot of throws. And, like, different. And then when I do mat wrestling, I already knew how to roll. I knew how to do different things like that. And knew how to sprawl, which is, like, I forgot what's called in professional wrestling, but it's like kind of like a drill where you drop down and do that. Drop downs too are like sprawls, depending on the style. Some of them are like more like sprawls where you have to get your chest down first, especially like lucha. The rolls help a lot, and kind of like being able to hit as well and know how to strike. That helped a lot, because a lot of people don't know how to control their punches, so either they hit you really hard or they don't hit you at all.
Okay, and so there's an art to that, some, right?
Yeah, you need to feel it, especially me. I'm like, I need to feel those punches. Like, you can't just pat me.
Yeah.
I'm personally not going to react, because, you know, I've been hitting the stomach and the body for how long?
Yeah.
I need to feel something.
I was going to say, I'm glad you said that. So... Both sports are tough within themselves. It takes special athletes to do what you guys are doing in both fields. What's the difference between the toughness that goes into MMA and the toughness that goes into wrestling? Because I know they both hurt.
Oh, God, they do. They do. For me, I've never been striked in the back, which is something I had to get used to, because my back is very, very sensitive, because the rest of my body isn't, because I've been getting hit and kicked there since, you know, I was 5 years old. I started with, like, the pit, so we just sparring there, and I would get hit. So I'm used to getting hit, but it's illegal to get hit in the back. So, you know,
yeah.
Getting hit in the back hurts so much. much, or even taking bumps when I first started, hurt so much. I'm like, I would rather take a face bump any day than taking a back bump, because my front of my body doesn't have as many like nerve endings, like it's not as sensitive.
Yeah.
I literally took a front bump on the apron. I was like, I'm good. I'm like, I will not take a back one though, because I know I'd be in so much pain, it's not even funny. So I think getting used to landing on my back and hitting my back, because when I would do throws, I would land on my stomach or my shoulder a lot of the time, because I'm turning mid-throw so I don't get pinned. But in wrestling, they're like, no, you need to land straight on your back or you're going to break something. I'm like, I feel like that's a false statement, because how many times I've landed on my shoulder and my stomach and nothing has happened. I don't understand that statement.
She said, I feel like it's a false statement. So I'm an avid wrestling podcast listener. I do my fair share of listening to wrestling podcasts. And one of the common themes when they're interviewing wrestlers is they talk about the bumps. They talk about how when you're first starting, in the first week or the first however long, the only thing you're doing is bumping.
Yeah, that happens depending like who your trainer is and how many people are in there. So when I first started, we were all very new. Like, there was a couple of advanced people and the rest of us were like brand new. So I took a lot of bumps, we did lots of rolls, we went over a lot of basic stuff, and it sucked. It hurt going there and taking like 20 bumps, 30 bumps when you're first starting, and they're like, no, you need to do this. Oh no, you need to attack the mat more. Oh no, you need to, like, I'm like, that's why I try to get everything perfect the first time, so I don't have to constantly do it.
Yeah, for sure. I hear that. So let's talk about before we move into talking about ring gear. I want to talk about what is your ring music? What is the song that you come out to?
So I come out to Seven Nation Army from White Stripes.
Good choice.
Yeah, it was something super easy to get people behind. Most people know it, and that's why I chose it. Like, my dad helped me choose it. Because I was like, I don't know what to do. Like, this is... it's so hard. Like, I used... like, when I was fighting and stuff like that, each time I went out, I walked out to a different song. But you can't do that here.
Yeah.
Because people recognize the song and know exactly who you are. And I was using the song before that WWE wrestler, forgot his name, he was a football player.
Pat McAfee.
I was so bad. I was like, oh, are you kidding me?
That's awesome. Shout out.
Really?
That's cool.
I was so angry. Like, you don't even know. I was like, that's why, I was like, no one uses a song. I was like, asked all my friends who were like WWE, AEW nerds. I was like, does anyone use a song? They're like, no. And I was using it for like a couple months before he came out to it. I was like, fire in my eyes. I was like, are you kidding me?
Damn. Pat McAfee stole Scarlett Rose, the Queen of Hearts, entrance music. Let's put that out there right now. No, shout out Pat McAfee. Shout out the Queen of Hearts. You said you're only 2 years in. I mean, you're still very early in your career. You still got a lot of growing to do, a lot of like becoming a character. Speaking of your character, the Queen of Hearts title, where does that come from? What is that? Is that something that you've had all your life? Is that something that you just picked up? Is that something you created? Tell us a little bit about that.
My nickname when I was doing martial arts, I got it pretty late in my martial arts career because, you know, I was training and everyone got nicknames and stuff like that, and I was like the only one that never got a nickname, and I really wanted one because I was like, I don't know why, because I wanted to be like the same, like, you know, they had nicknames given
who
by
doesn't?
Their trainers. That's usually trainers give you nicknames, and that's what you use when you fight, you know?
Like, yeah.
And no one did. I was like, And I like doing chokes, and I really like Alice in Wonderland, so when I would choke people out, I'd be like, off with your head, just messing around, because that's who I am, like, and so my dad, like, gave me the nickname Queen of Hearts, so I started using Queen of Hearts when I would, like, wrestle, which was really cool. Like, I really liked it. It was very fitting, because I love Alice in Wonderland, the Red Queen, Queen of Hearts, whichever way you want to call her. So, yeah.
Nice. So, as I said, I wanted to talk about your ring gear. Tell us a little bit about who makes it for you. What where does your ring gear come from?
So I make them. I make my own ring gear.
Nice. That's cool.
My first design that I created was, like, I wanted to be kind of, like, comfortable for me, something I was, like, really used to, and I used to wrestle a lot in singlets, so I tried to make it kind of like a singlet, but a little bit different, like, a little bit more, like, not a singlet, but, like, a one-piece, and so I used a lace in the back, and I absolutely hated the lace, because it was super hard to get into, and I usually need help, so I created another design, which was, like, a two-piece, and I hated that as well. I was like, this is not very comfortable, and then, like, I was like, it makes me look fat if I, like, bend the wrong way, because it's, like, cutting my body in half, so I was like, okay, I'm gonna go back to the one piece, because it was more comfortable for me, and I, like, didn't, like, wasn't self-conscious about it or anything, so instead of doing the lace, I'm gonna do a zipper in the front and hope that works.
So, talk to me a little bit about what goes into making ring gear for those who have never even, like, thought that it was that wrestlers made their own ring gear. Someone like me.
Not a lot to do anymore. It used to, like, from my coaches that are older, it used to be common practice. Like, you used to make your own gear because, like, you didn't have money to go buy stuff for someone.
Oh, okay.
But that's how I started. Like, I was like, I don't really want to go spend a bunch of money on gear for something. Like, I'm not, like, when I first started out, I never thought I was going to do shows. Like, never.
Really?
I was like, I'm a very shy person that's, like, very, like, I don't like big crowds. I don't like center of attention. Like, I don't like it. I don't want it. I don't want to be there, you know? Like, even when I was doing MMA, like, I was super nervous. Or, like, wrestling, I was like, I do not want to be in the center stage, I do not want to do this, I just want to be on the little mats around the big stage, because, like, in state, they would have, like, a raised stage, and they would cameras on there, and then you could see it, all over the building, because they had cameras, and then they had, like, the little jumbo screen in the center where everyone could see. I was like, no, I don't want to do that, no. So, I really honestly never thought I was gonna ever do any of this, but I was like, you know what, let me, like, try to make gear and see if I can do this, and then, you know, I can make possibly gear for other people if it's not that hard. So I made my first pant shirt top. It's, like, black pleather. I still have it. I wear it sometimes. It's more of my, like, bad guy outfit.
Nice.
And it was, like, bell bottoms with a bunch of hearts. It's really cool. It's really pretty. It's one of my favorite gears. I always have it, but then I was like, oh, you know, like, dark colors, you mean you're bad, like, in movies and all that kind of stuff, so I was like, I need to make more of a bright color gear, and when I was fighting, my colors were black and pink, but I was like, I can't do that, because it's a heart family, I don't want to be in relation to that.
Okay.
So I decided to go stray away from black and pink, because, yeah, so then I did a red, which is inspired by Red Queen, because her is, like, is red.
Of course, of course.
So that's why it's red. And then I did gold hearts with a black outline. It's pretty difficult, I think. I love making gear. There's nothing else I would love to do, rather, but sometimes it's difficult. Because, like, trying to design things if people don't already have designs, and trying to design my own gear of, like, what I want to do and how I want it to look. Because sometimes it looks really cool in your head, but it's super hard to do with fabric. And that's what you have to keep in mind. It's like, okay, yeah, cool. This has a bunch of details, but fabric is two-dimensional.
Huh. sewing.
Pictures can be, yeah.
That's cool. That's cool. So talk a little bit about, like, how many people have you, would you say that you've made gear for? And how could people find you, get in touch with you to make their gear? And talk a little bit about what your prices are. That way, you know, if anybody is listening to this, they can, they know how to get at you.
What was the first question about?
I said, how many like, have you made gear for a lot of people? I can cut that out, don't worry.
Yes, quite a few. I'm trying to, like, think. It's been a lot. This list currently, I've made, like, 6 or 7, and that's not including ones before. So probably, like, over 10 people or more.
Cool.
Because some are tag teams.
Nice. So in 2 years. In 2 years. So tell the people that are listening, tell them how they can find you.
Less than 2 years.
Less than 2 years?
I only started making gear probably about 7 months for other people. I used to just make it for myself.
Oh, wow. Okay, yeah, so how can people find you?
People can find me on Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook. For Instagram, it's at the.queenof_hearts with 2 S's, I believe. And then Facebook is Scarlet Rose. Usually, sometimes it pops up. It's kind of hard on Facebook, and I don't know why. And then Twitter is SR. I don't remember. It's SR something. I think it's
Shout
SR
out.
Hearts.
Shout out. Go find her. Go find her. Yeah. Hey, y'all do us a favor. Y'all go find it. Y'all go find her at name and spam it in the comments for us, please. So tell us a little bit. I want to move on to something a little bit more. What are your goals when it comes to wrestling? Is it something that you do just to stay in shape? Or is it, you know, something, are there goals that you want to accomplish in this business?
Eventually want to wrestle, like, all over. And, you know, I'm starting here in California, and I've already wrestled, you know, all over California. I've wrestled down in LA. I'm wrestling this month all the way up in Alameda. I was wrestling in San Jose, where I went to college, which was exciting.
Nice.
I tried to get some of my college friends to go, but they're like,
All right, fine.
Whatever. Cool. But I would like to start wrestling out of state. It just has to be, you know, I can't afford to pay for a plane ticket and a hotel. So if someone's, you know, willing to cover that, I don't mind actually making money as long as my travel is, like, paid for.
That's for sure.
The part. Which is fun, you know, but I wrestled up and down California, which is nice. But I would start, like, branching out to other states. I think that's, like, the next goal. And then, you know, if I could make it on TV, whichever company, I don't personally care if it's WWE, AEW, I think Ring of Honor is no longer, it's, like, taken off by AEW, but, Impact, I'm not picky, like, I'm not picky. I would just be grateful for any of them.
Yeah, you guys heard them, AEW. WWE, Impact, ROH, whoever's out there, NJPW. No, but I mean, we certainly hope to see it. We will certainly be following you and watching you as you journey into the sport further. My next question is, do you have any memorable moments so far in your career? This is the one that stumps everybody. I imagine there's a lot of moments that, like, it's like being put on the spot and it's hard to pick.
Yeah.
You either blank out or there's too many. I understand completely.
I think my first match was one of my best moments, because it was something I was never planning on actually doing, and then, like, actually proving to myself that, like, I can actually go out there and do this and not totally mess it up. That was was like my huge worry. It was like, I'm just gonna bomb and everyone's gonna remember this. I'm gonna be on Botchamania. I'm never gonna let this down.
I imagine that that's a big concern. That's a big worry.
Yeah. But I think that moment I was like, oh, you know, I can do this. I love this. I love the crowd interaction. I love being able to be like a superhero character for like little girls. Like, people want to be like me. You know, I love that feeling. Inspiring like the next generation of wrestlers, even if it's just in my hometown or these small shows or whatever. It's still a great feeling for me.
I'm glad you said that, because my next question actually was, your advice, what would your advice be to that little girl that would possibly be watching this or listening to this interview right now? What would your advice be to her just in the short amount of time that you've had, but I guess including your MMA background, just being an athlete, what kind of advice would you have for her?
I personally would say that you can do anything. Like, don't let anyone tell you you can't, because people are telling me every single day of my life that I shouldn't be doing this. Like, you know, my grandparents, male wrestlers, female wrestlers, whatever, like, people be all the time like, oh, you shouldn't be wrestling with the boys because, you know, you're hurting our boys' ego, or I can't be wrestling with the females because apparently I'm too good and I'm hurting the females' ego. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to wrestle you both and make you both mad. Like, that's all I can do.
That's true.
But go out there, do your best, work hard. Don't listen to any of the haters, because a lot of people are going to hate, especially being a female in a male-dominated sport. But go out there, you can do anything.
That's perfect. That's a perfect answer. So, whoa, what happened? Okay, you ready to get back to this? Okay, so my next question was going to be, what you mentioned how you were shy, how you're a shy person, you don't like being the center of attention. You chose quite the occupation. talk a little bit about what it takes to put yourself out there like that.
Personally, I just kind of ignore everything. Like, be like, you know, I wrestled in front of, 40 people. I wrestled in front of 900 people. I just have to imagine that I'm the only one out there, and, kind of focus on my opponent and what I'm doing. Like, I do interact with the crowd, but I just kind of have to think of, everyone is there to see me succeed. No one wants me to go out there and fail.
Yeah.
Even if I'm, the bad guy, people don't want to see me fail. They still want me to put on a good performance be that person, you know? And that's one thing I had to think about. It's just you know what, people are here to see me for good or for bad. They still want to see me. They want to see me lose, or they want to see me win. That's what I had to kind of think of ahead. People are wanting to see me. That is it. And it's hard. It's honestly super hard, because stress, anxiety, I'm like, oh my god, go out there and everything possible that you can think of, go bad in your head, it
for
goes
sure.
through my head, and just kind of have to be focused, be like, I can do this, yes, 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 I can do this. And my super hard part, the huge thing that's really bad for me, is talking in front of people. That's the hardest part for me, which I've been working on. When I do Micromania matches and stuff like that, I have to go out there and talk and say something.
Oh, even yeah, you're cutting promos?
Even if it's a minute, is better than anything. Even talking in front of a camera, because I know people are going to be out there listening and watching that. That messes with my brain, too. Even if it's just one person to be on the camera, I know this is going to be on the internet and people are going to hear me talking and see me in my face and talking.
But
that's the hardest part.
Yeah, I definitely get that. So you do cut promos. That's perfect, because I was just gonna ask you. Who is Scarlett Rose? Who is the Queen of Hearts? Okay, so we understand. You know, at times you might be babyface. At times you might be heel. But who is it that lies beneath just those titles? Who are you?
best way to put it is that I love my fans, and shout I love out. The people who are around there, but, you know, whoever's in the ring is going to go down. Like, and I'm here willing to do whatever it takes to win. That's kind of basically the basis of my character, and that's how I was when I was wrestling. Like not wrestling, is that I'd be the nicest person in the world. I'd be like, you know, sugar and spice, everything nice. But like when I would step into the mat, I was a different person. Especially when I was getting ready for the match, like it'd be like serious, aggressive. I'm gonna go in there. I'm gonna mess this person up, and I'm gonna be victorious. That was my mindset. So I kind of try to build that into my character, which is a lot of me. Be like, okay, you know, like that's why I'm like I try to be like more in between, like good and bad. Some people don't like it.
I love tweeners. I love the tweeners. They're my favorite. Like, you don't have to tell me you're a good guy for me to like you. You don't have to tell me you're a bad guy for me not to like you. My preference is a tweener, so I think you're doing good. I think you should stay on that track.
Yeah, but my coaches, they're like, oh, it might be hard for people to look at. Like, who cares? Okay, I'll do whatever. And then, you know, I go out there, put out a good match, whatever, you know, and people love it. And people have, like, especially in my hometown, because I wrestled there more frequently, people were literally like, you can't do that to the queen. Like,
yeah.
Bad.
Yeah.
Okay, I see you.
That's cool.
The queen.
That's cool.
People are mad. But, you know, like, but I like the in-betweener because it's like, I don't have a problem with the people in the crowd. I have a problem with the person in the ring. And that's kind of like what I kind of base it off of, you know, like I have a saying like, I'm only here for three things: to wrestle the best, to beat the best, and to be the best.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah.
I like that. I like that.
It's time to reign. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Say it one more time. Let them know.
I'm only here for three reasons: to wrestle the best, to beat the best, and to be the best, because it's the queen's time to reign.
Hell yeah. I like that. Okay, that's cool. That's perfect. So tell me a little bit about who, like, what are you involved in right now? Who do you got coming up? What are some events that you're going to be involved in? Let people know where they can find you.
So currently, I have a wrestling show on the 17th, which is this Sunday, down in Los Angeles for I believe Warrior Wrestling Corporation, down at Jalisco Nightclub in Los Angeles. And then on the 23rd, I'll be up north in Alameda with Stars of Wrestling. And then on the 30th, I'll be wrestling at EWF at San Bernardino with an attack match.
Nice,
so it should
nice.
Be a lot of fun. And then August 13th, I'll be wrestling at PCW up north. Not exactly sure how to say the name of the town, but up north. and then down, I'll be back on the 14th in Los Angeles with WWC and at the Jalisco Nightclub as well.
Cool. So you're booked up for the whole month, basically, for the next month.
Yeah, I have like a wrestling show every weekend for the most part. Yeah,
that's cool. That's cool. I mean, we as I said, here on the 3&D Signs and Sports Podcast, we hope to one day see you come down to Texas, or we will go west to California, but we hope to see you come down to Texas. So
yeah, lots of good things. There's a lot of promotions out there. Like,
there is, and it's, I think, only growing. So it would be cool to see the Queen of Hearts stomping in Texas, where everything is bigger. So I want to talk to you before we close out this podcast, before we are coming to an end. Guys, I know it's been a fun podcast. I know y'all can catch her on the next one if she decides that she wants to come back again. But let's let's talk about your dream match. Do you have a dream match? Is there somebody that you would like to step in the ring with, whether it be at WrestleMania or AEW's biggest event? And what would the stipulation be?
So, I like Becky Lynch. That's one of my favorite wrestlers. Because that's what I based a lot of... I saw her wrestle and I was like, I like that. I like that style. I like the characters Love that she it. Has. The man. Let me clarify. The man.
Big time.
Big time. I'm like, I don't know about that. I love the man, Eric. I love how she was. You know, she's like... She fights as she has to fight. That's kind of like what it is.
For
like,
sure.
That's what I kind of like. That's the character I like want to bring. So I love to wrestle her. Just like, that'd be a dream.
Be a great match. That'd be a great match. What stipulation would you want on the match? What type of match would it be?
I don't know.
Submission. Hell in a Cell. Elimination. I mean, it couldn't be an elimination chamber. Well, I guess it could be. Steel cage, tables match, Iron Man. An Iron Man would be pretty cool.
If I'm up there, you know, I know. If I'm wrestling, you know, a big, like, with the WWE or whatever, I would care.
You wouldn't care.
I'd just be happy to be there.
Nice. So this is the main event at WrestleMania. You would just want a 1v1? Yeah.
Like, show our wrestling talent.
Yeah. That'd be a great match. I tell you what, I would be watching. Scarlett Rose, the Queen of Hearts, we appreciate you for coming on the podcast. At the end of these podcast episodes, at the end of these interviews, I like to turn the platform over to you and allow you to take the mic and say whatever it is you want to say. Shout out whoever you want to shout out. Tell people where they can follow you, but the platform is now yours for the next however long you want it, and I will finish it off after that.
Okay, sounds good. I just want to thank everyone I've trained with. I've trained at Kayfabe College. I wrestle. My home promotion is Pro Wrestling Unplugged. Grateful for Billy Blade, the owner of the company. I'm grateful for Ray Genesis, which is one of the main people who like started coaching me and teaching me when I first started, and Liam Price for health training with us, and everyone else that's in the gym, as well as Brian Kendrick, who just started joining 3 weeks ago to help coach us. He's our now our head coach until whenever. I don't honestly know what's gonna end, but he's here being our head coach. Comes every Tuesday, helps out. Honestly, amazing. He very fine details. If anyone out there can have a chance to go out and do his training or his school, because I know he's having like a 6 week, or I don't know how long it is, but it's like a boot camp basically for pro wrestling. And if you can afford it, go out there. He's amazing. He will clean up like every little tiny thing that is possibly wrong with whatever you're doing. He'll give you advice for if you want to do like if you want to do the tryouts and what they're looking for, because he was actually part of that whole ordeal when he was in the WWE. I want to thank my parents for helping support me.
Shout out.
And everyone else who supports me out there doing these podcasts, my fans, everyone. I'm very grateful, because without any of you guys, I wouldn't be here. That's basically, you know, my fans help me get to other promotions and be able to afford traveling. So.
Okay, so before I do sign it off, I just want to give you one more chance to tell people again where to find you. I don't know if you want to pull up your ads, that way everybody can I'm sorry, is that me FaceTiming you? Oh, okay, no, that didn't mean to do that. Yeah, I'll just give you one more chance to tell everybody where to follow, and then I will sign this thing off.
So you can find me on Twitter, Facebook, or... What did I say?
Instagram.
Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter. Twitter's @ is @SR_. hearts. And Instagram's ad is the dot clean up underscore hearts with two S's.
Okay, you guys heard it. You guys go follow her. You guys go like every single picture on her page. Scarlett Rose, we appreciate you. Thank you for coming on the podcast. This was the 3ND Signs and Sports podcast. You are more than welcome to the platform whenever you want. We are one message away. And as I said, we hope to see you in Texas sometimes.
I hope so too.
But guys, thank you for tuning in to the fifth episode of the newest and most exciting sports entertainment podcast interview episode series, the 3ND Signs and Sports podcast on Rumble. Make sure to go follow, like, and share this video, and we will catch you guys on the next one. Thank you.